Welcome to Night Sky Tourist, a place to learn the night sky, have fun with its ancient stories, meet astronomers and dark sky advocates, and fall in love with the dark. I'm Vicki Dirksen, your host and author of the website and blog, nightskytourist.com. If you've never visited the website, I invite you to stop by after the podcast. Check out some of the great blog articles, browse through the resource page, and sign up for the newsletters. The newsletters have great content that is exclusive for subscribers. Are you ready for an adventure under the night sky? Let's jump right in. There's a few places in the United States that have extraordinary dark skies with almost no light pollution to erase the stars. And Nevada is one of those places. Many people immediately think of Las Vegas when they think of Nevada. The last time I was in that great city was in March of 2020. And when it got dark outside, well, it didn't actually get dark outside because of all of the lights on the strip. But after the sun went down, I looked up and all I could see was the moon and the star Sirius. That's it. But thankfully, Las Vegas is tucked into the bottom of the state and the rest of it is mostly dark. I've traveled across this state a few times and it truly has gorgeous starry skies. With its dry climate, stargazing is a real treat there. Great Basin National Park is one of those beautiful, certified international dark sky parks. And the small town of Baker, Nevada is less than 10 miles from the entrance to Great Basin. In Baker is a small but super fun little place called the Stargazer Inn and the Bristlecone General Store, both owned by Elizabeth Woolsey. Liz has a dynamic personality and is enthusiastic about the outdoors near her town, and she's a great lover of the night sky. She moved to Baker in 2018, where her husband, James, is the superintendent of Great Basin National Park, and she works diligently to promote dark sky preservation through the Park to Park in the Dark astronomy route and the Baker Dark Sky Community Initiative. She joined me for this episode to talk about what she offers to lovers of the night sky at her motel, and also to share about stargazing opportunities at Great Basin National Park. Please join me in welcoming to the podcast, Elizabeth Woolsey. Liz, thank you for joining me on the Night Sky Tours podcast from Nevada.
Yeah, it's a pleasure to be here and greetings from Baker, Nevada, gateway community to Great Basin National Park.
So I have to admit, I've never been to that area. And I keep talking about it, though, because I know it's such an amazing dark sky area. But before we jump into all of that, I kind of want people to know who you are, what you do, and I know that you've started the Stargazer Inn and the Bristlecone General Store. Mm-hmm. And so tell me what led you to doing that, because it sounds fun.
It is. I just celebrated my 1 year anniversary of being the new caretaker of this property, as I call it. So my husband works for the National Park Service, 32 years of taking us, me and our kids, around to different national parks as his career advances. And about 25 years ago, I literally had a dream, an actual dream, that when we retired, we were going to live at a crossroads of outdoor recreation in the middle of nowhere. And I was going to run a little store and an inn so that people could have their needs met along their journeys. And he would take them on adventures or, you know, whatever, wanderings with them. And here we are. Great Basin, or Baker, I should say, has 150 people. We are an hour from the nearest town that has, grocery stores or, you know, a hardware store. So we are in a good middle of nowhere spot. And we have outdoor recreation activities 360 degrees. So the Stargazer Inn has 10 rooms. And my little general store has all the basic needs for food and good books and local art and camping gear and hot coffee and good conversation.
And when I look at your social media sites, You do some fun activities too. Tell us about them.
Well, I have a lot of mission statements and vision statements for my business. And one of them is just to really make sure people have opportunities to get together and have fun. Fun is always number one. If it's not fun, we're not doing it. But especially during these winter months, it's really nice to get, I have Sunday afternoon activities. They vary all through the month. In the spring and summer and fall, we had live music out back, storytelling, an arts festival, so at a Halloween festival for kids. So it's kind of however the spirit moves us, we organize events and open it up to the public.
I think you now have my official favorite dream job. So tell me what night sky experiences are like around Baker. We'll get to the Great Basin National Park, but in your area, what's it like being under the starry night?
Well, so I'm going to start with saying that Nevada as a state is 86% public lands. So next to Alaska, we're the state that has the most open spaces, which also means dark skies because it's not built up, with light pollution because cities, there's so much wonderful space where people can get out and explore. So here in Baker, we're in the valley. So again, Nevada is a series of mountain. We also have some of the most mountainous, we're one of the most mountainous states in the country also, which is people usually just think Las Vegas, desert, but we have a lot of mountains. So we are, and it's a lot of mountains and valleys is throughout the state. So here we are in Baker in a valley. And if we just go out about, a couple miles down this dirt road, you're in like the center of the valley. And when you go stargazing, it is, I say it's your private planetarium, but it's real. You are under the Milky Way, it's right above you, especially during the different seasons. Milky Way is kind of, more brilliant during the summer and fall, but Orion is prevalent now. We've got all these great winter constellations. So any season that you're out here, you're going to see something just full of, that makes you full of awe and wonder, and such little light pollution here that it's amazing.
Did you grow up under starry skies or light pollution?
Yeah, so I grew up in New England, in Connecticut, and would take trips to the beach, but I don't think I really understood kind of the stargazing ideas I love the moon. I love, as a kid, you see stars, but I don't think I really appreciated it until I was an adult. One of the parks my husband worked at was Mojave National Preserve in the California desert. And one of the most profound experiences I had is we had a hammock in the backyard. I went out one night, I'm laying in the hammock, looking up at the stars again, just hundreds of thousands of stars above me. And I said, I'm floating in the hammock above the ground on a ball that's floating in space. And I just couldn't even fathom, the reality of that. So I never take the dark skies for granted. It's amazing. I mean, you can just step out here and look at and see the Milky Way right out my front door. And it's just, still fills me with such amazing awe. Awe is my big word. So,
it's interesting you say that because I'm actually right in the middle of reading a book called Awe, AWE. And it's about the science of awe and what they're discovering about how we experience it and what it does to us, how it transforms us.
Yeah. Oh, I love it.
So how far are you from the entrance to Great Basin National Park?
Yeah, so Baker is 5 miles east of the main entrance of the park. The park has a series of canyons that you can go up, and there's lots of hiking trails, 65 miles of hiking trails in the park. But the main entrance is up just one half block north and then 5 miles up to Lehman Caves Visitor Center. And that's, kind of where you get your orientation of where to go and plan your trip. So where the mountains are right there. I mean, we just have these amazing views of the whole mountain range of the park.
And that's an international dark sky park, right?
Yeah, it is. It absolutely is. And they have their astronomy programs are getting much more popular. I'd say, 90% of our tourists come here to witness the dark skies. And during the summer months, they have three nights a week an astronomy program open to visitors and a beautiful new amphitheater that just is right in view of all the mountains. So as the stars come out and the rangers do these amazing programs to teach people about the dark skies and why it's important to preserve them. And then they have an astronomy festival, the new moon of September. Whenever the new moon in September falls, they do a 3-day astronomy festival that brings people from all over the country with their beautiful big telescopes. And they do all kinds of really cool programs during that festival weekend.
I think you need to save me a room in September.
Well, believe me, they fill up. The minute they announce the dates, the phone's ringing off the hook. Yeah. Yeah.
So there's this really awesome website that a mutual friend and that we have, Katie, introduced me to, called parktoparkinthedark.org. And this is about Highway 50 that comes right through your neighborhood, right?
Right. And well, and it's kind of Highway 50 and then into Tonopah, Highway 6, and then 95 down to Death Valley. So it park to park is Great Basin National Park to Death Valley National Park, highways that connect through the towns of Beatty, Goldfield, Tonopah, Ely, and Baker. It's a route that highlights all the amazing astronomy opportunities you have, whether it's you have photography in mind. This route highlights all the places that are premier locations to do these stargazing to off the grid experiences. And the rural towns have a lot invested in keeping dark sky preservation active in Nevada. And the parks, of course, are both international dark sky parks. So we highlight the activities that they're doing. And this was an idea that Friends of Nevada Wilderness had a few years ago and brought it to the attention of some local tourism organizations. I happened to be in on one of the calls and got the short straw of being the organizer of it. But through it was an amazing opportunity to bring 3 counties, 2 national parks, 5 towns, and then a whole handful of like state parks, Forest Service, Bureau of Land Management, all these other agencies. I think 14 different groups were involved in creating this route to make sure that we safely brought people to the locations, because Nevada can have some pretty nice off-road opportunities with no signage. So we got to make sure people, know where the amenities are and know how to get there. So we had all these this great input. And then we had a wonderful website designer, Teresa Madsen from Tonopah, Nevada, who put all that information together for us.
And I have to say, it's a beautiful website. Wow.
Fantastic. Yeah. And we even had, we had night sky photographers, on our grants. We had 2 different grants from Travel Nevada that helped us get this going. And we, hired some awesome photographers to build content as a resource for planning their trips between the two parks. If they want to make a whole vacation, go from Baker to from Great Basin to Death Valley for dark sky experiences, on that website. So wherever they are and however long they have, it's a great tool.
Yeah, it's amazing. So I want people to go to it, parktoparkinthedark.org, and I'll have the link for that in the show notes for everybody.
Awesome.
So what kind of things do you hear your guests say about the night sky?
Okay, so number one would be, I've never seen the Milky Way before. Either that or, too bad it was cloudy the other night, which it actually was the Milky Way. Because if you're not maybe, sure what it is, it almost looks like white clouds because there's so many stars. So I think for people to see the Milky Way is just a life-changing experience for them. And that's really cool. Or just being able to step out and look up and see so many stars. I think they love to learn about it. They love to go to the ranger programs. I think that's just something that is going to stay, is a life-changing experience for them, really.
Yeah, it is amazing that we have so much night sky heritage with, you and I were talking before the interview here about, the star stories of different cultures from around the world and how light pollution is erasing that. It's erasing our heritage, erasing what we've always had.
I had an opportunity to work with a group of students here in Baker It was to teach them about dark sky lighting and reducing light pollution and all the wonderful benefits that has, you know, for our circadian rhythms, for our own health, for the nocturnal animal habitats, you know, for energy reduction, but also for knowledge, like what do night skies have to bring to us? What can we do? And we have a Baker archaeological site. It's an 800-year-old Fremont Indian village here in Baker, and it's in the valley. And we had night school, and I brought the kids out there one night just to stargaze, and we read stories about stars and astronomy from other cultures, and it was really, really amazing. And then, of course, the sky came through, and this amazing meteor just went ripping across the sky as we're reading these stories. So we're all cheering, and oh my goodness. But I think if we need to remember that the night sky is a resource we have, and to embrace it and to protect it, you know, I don't think it's on people's radar screens enough. So that's what we do here.
I think it's so cool that no matter how many times you see a shooting star, you still have the same reaction every single time without fail.
Yay, I know. It's so awesome.
And you mentioned the Fremont. This summer I visited Fremont Indian State Park over in Utah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they have some amazing petroglyphs, and they've been discovering that some of them have astronomical meanings to them, and they're doing a lot of research on that, and actually have an episode coming up on that here soon.
Cool. Well, they did an excavation of the village here. It was a joint Park Service, Bureau of Land Management, and the Museum of Peoples and Culture at the in Provo, and they discovered that they designed their village according to the solstice, the summer solstice and the wind. So that their light would come through and they could tell the change in seasons. And it's, oh my goodness, it's incredible.
I love stuff like that so much. You know, like there's Chaco Canyon over in New Mexico that's like that. Of course, the famous Stonehenge in England. Chichen Itza down in Mexico. There's so much of this stuff, and it's so fascinating. Yeah. So that's really cool. I didn't realize that that was near your neck.
And that's one site that they excavated, and there's evidence that they lived all throughout this valley too. So,
well, Liz, where can people find you online?
So, I mean, I have a website, stargazernevada.com. That's for the hotel and the general store. I'm on Instagram and Facebook, Stargazer in Nevada, 3 N's in a row there in the middle. So yeah, it's fun. We want to be the hub of all activity, and a lot of visitors here say that my little store is an oasis in the desert, which I love that. So I hope to have more visitors come through and experience the amazing opportunities here in our area.
Well, you can definitely look for me later this year, and I'll be in touch with you before I come.
That'd be awesome.
Yes. Yeah. And I'll make sure that those links are in the show notes so people can quickly click on those and get right over to you.
Yeah, fantastic. Awesome.
Well, Liz, thank you so much for taking time with us and sharing your enthusiasm for this place, and can't wait to get up to you.
My pleasure. And I just tell everybody listening, just look up. Thanks. Thank you so much, Vicki.
If you have plans to visit Las Vegas, you might want to check out a phenomenal star map that's hidden in plain sight. It's located at Hoover Dam on the border of Nevada and Arizona. To commemorate Franklin D. Roosevelt's dedication of the dam in 1936, an intricate star map was designed and embedded on the ground on the west side of the dam. And this was to mark the astronomical day of the event. You can find out all about the spectacular star map in my interview with Patty Aaron, a public affairs officer with the Bureau of Reclamation. Check it out at nightskytourist.com/37. That's nightskytourist.com/37. Or just go to the show notes and click on the link. It's time for our tour across the night sky for February 2023. Pause the podcast, gather everyone in your home, turn off the outside lights, and I'll meet you outside under the stars. Winter's such a fun time for stargazing. Even if the nights are cold, it's worth bundling up to see some of the most interesting constellations in the night sky. And this is the perfect time to see them straight up overhead. We're going to start with Orion, which is the most recognizable constellation after the Big Dipper. So face south and then look straight up and he'll be right in front of you. He's easy to spot because you can find the three bright stars in a straight row. I'll be sharing more details about this fun constellation in the next episode. But for a teaser, I'll tell you about Betelgeuse, a nebula, and three stories from different cultures around the world. For tonight, we're just going to use Orion for a reference point. So from Orion, look a bit toward the northwest, where you're going to see a little cluster of bright stars. And a lot of people ask me if that's the Little Dipper. Well, there's two things to know about that. One, it's much too small to be the Little Dipper, even though it does resemble one. And two, if you were relying on it for finding the North Star, which is located in the Little Dipper, you'd be in big trouble if you're trying to navigate by it. That little star cluster is called the Pleiades, and it's actually part of the much larger constellation called Taurus. There are six stars that are visible to the naked eye, even though many indigenous cultures have star stories about seven sisters. The Pleiades got its name through the mythologies of the Greeks. These seven divine sisters were the children of Atlas and Pleione. You probably know Atlas. He was the leader of the Titans who was defeated by Zeus and condemned to carry the earth on his back. The Pleiades are also mentioned three times in the Bible and were recognized by all cultures around the world. In Japan, it was known as a cluster of six stars, and it's known by the name Subaru. Yes, just like the car company Subaru. In the company's branding, they used this star cluster to represent their origins as the merging together of five companies into one new company. And so this is depicted in their six-star logo. Galileo was the first astronomer to look at the Pleiades with a telescope all the way back in 1610. And he discovered that it had 36 stars grouped together. But today, our technologically advanced telescopes have shown us that there are over 1,000 stars in the cluster. While different cultures around the world have a mythology attached to this little group of bright stars, my favorite comes from North America's indigenous people. The Cree people see their origin story in the Pleiades. When they look up at the night sky, they see Grandmother Spider right above the Pleiades, and Pleiades is seen as a hole in the sky. Their story goes like this. Grandmother Spider was in charge of the doorways, or portals, or wormholes. And these wormholes led to alternate realities, because we are only one reality that exists. Grandmother Spider filtered out all that came and went through these portals. And this is where they get dream catchers from. On the other side of this hole in the sky, or Pleiades, there were beams of light that would roam the cosmos looking for new experiences. Star Woman was roaming the cosmos, and she came across that hole in the sky, and she looked through it, and she saw Earth, and she wanted to check it out. So she tried to come, but she couldn't do it, and she realized that she needed help. She spotted Grandmother Spider, another of her kind, sitting in her place over the Milky Way to keep watch of the portals. So Star Woman asked Grandmother Spider for assistance so she could visit this new and exciting place called Earth. Grandmother Spider said that there were three conditions she had to meet to enter. One, she had to take a physical form. Two, she had to bring a gift to remind her where she came from. And three, she couldn't stay long. Star Woman agreed to the terms, so Grandmother Spider sent a single strand of webbing through the hole in the sky and lowered Star Woman to Earth. And when Star Woman touched the Earth, she took a physical form as a human being. And that is us. She was the first human being. the gift she brought was a star blanket. And the original star blanket has 7 points to represent the 7 stars of the Pleiades. This was to remind everyone where they came from. After Star Woman came, there were many others who came after her, and eventually there were many people as we see today. And she was only allowed to stay for a short time. But how long is that for a being of energy? Well, she stayed a lifetime, and then she left. The people who were still here wanted to honor Star Woman for being the first person to come here, so they added an extra point to the star blanket, and that's why modern star blankets have 8 points. And that single strand that Grandmother Spider used to lower Star Woman to the Earth is an umbilical cord, and that's how all people get here. We are all spirit, and we all come here to learn how to be human. And once we learn, we continue our journey and go somewhere else in the vast cosmos. The Cree elders say the Creator had a thought and everything came into being, and his thought processes are still going on. So creation is still expanding. That means that space is never ending and we can never imagine all that is out there. And that is the story I think of now every time I look at the Pleiades, and it's one of my most favorite origin stories of all. But I also love the Nez Perce story of the Pleiades because I grew up in northern Idaho in Nez Perce County. In that story, there were 7 sisters, and one of them fell in love with a mortal man. And then he did what mortal men do. He died, and the sister was overwhelmed with grief after his death. And her sisters mocked her, and they were saying, "Why are you so upset about the death of a mortal?" But she just grew sadder and sadder, and in her shame, she pulled the sky over herself to hide behind its veil. And that's why you can only see 6 stars today. Join me in the next episode to continue our tour of the other great winter constellations in this part of the sky. And be sure to check out the show notes for links to things mentioned in this episode, or visit nightskytourist.com/59. And don't forget to subscribe while you're on the website, where you're going to get exclusive content, including some fun behind-the-scenes stuff from my upcoming book. That's nightskytourist.com/59. Thank you for joining me for another episode of the Night Sky Tourist Podcast. If you enjoy the Night Sky Tourist Podcast, please show your support by subscribing to it in your podcatcher and leave a written review. Your reviews are really important to me, and they help others discover the podcast. Be sure to visit nightskytourist.com for great articles and resources. And while you're there, sign up for the newsletter for exclusive content. We'll see you here again in 2 weeks. Until then, keep looking up.